Dear friends in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Today, on January 5th, we are observing the Epiphany, that is, the day the Gentile wise men gave their worship and gifts to Jesus. We also focus today on the hymn, the popular hymn, The First Noel. Before we go into the words themselves, let's take a look at some background information. First of all, the hymn dates back to the 1500s, but it was an unpublished folk song until the year 1833. The hymn is a popular hymn, a loved hymn, but yet, at the same time, it is not entirely accurate. We'll come to that in the second stanza, I believe it is. However, though, when we think about the writer of the hymn, we can see from the words that he was incredibly enthusiastic about Christmas and fully understood the wonder of Christ's birth. May God help us to also be excited about the fact that our Savior has come to take away our sins, and through him, heaven is open. But why this inaccuracy, though? We have to go back 500 years to the time when the hymn was written and understand a little bit more what was going on at that time, focusing on two factors. First of all, there were very few Bibles in circulation. So the general Bible knowledge that was out there did not come from individual people reading their own Bible, but it was kind of passed on generation after generation, but wasn't always exactly accurate. Also, too, many people at that time simply could not read, so they were doing the best they could to share the events of the birth of our Savior. The First Noel also has kind of a sad connection here with a custom, a Viking custom of the Yule log. What is the Yule log? Maybe you've heard that term before. It was a fresh-cut, hollowed-out tree, and then within the hollow of that tree, they would put various oils and spices. The family would take that log, put it in the fireplace, burn it during the time around Christmas, and they were doing all of this hoping for good luck upon their household. As Christians, do we believe in luck? By no means. We believe that God is the Almighty God. We believe that he is working within our lives, and we trust in him to help us in every time of need, and whatever blessings he gives, we give him the thanks and the praise. We don't need to think about the idea of luck. We are blessed by God Almighty. Also, too, with this practice of the Yule log, as the people who had that practice, they were initially pagans, but when God brought some of them to Christ, they did continue the Yule log for a period of time, but rather than thinking about the idea of good luck, they thought about the wood of the log pointing to the wood that our Savior was crucified upon. In England, the First Noel was sung each year by peasants as they lit the Yule log. Therefore, the First Noel became the song that started the entire Christmas season. While the tradition of the Yule log has all but died out, for which we give thanks to God, the message of the First Noel, the birth of our Savior, that reality still burns brightly. Let's go on to the first stanza and the refrain. It says, "The First Noel, the angel did say, was to certain poor shepherds in fields as they lay, in fields where they lay keeping their sheep on a cold winter's night that was so deep. Noel, 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 born is the King of Israel." With all those words, let's focus on just three of them. First of all, the word Noel. What does Noel mean? Noel is the French word for Christmas. So our Merry Christmas in English is the French Joyeux Noel, basically Joyous Christmas or Merry Christmas. So Noel is a joyful shout expressing happiness at the birth of Christ. When we know we are sinners, when we know we cannot fix our sins, we cannot overcome them, then we are greatly rejoicing knowing that God has sent his Son to be our Savior. Also, too, we had reference to the shepherds here in the first stanza, and we know about the shepherds. They were caring for their sheep outside of Bethlehem when suddenly an angel appeared and announced, "Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord." Also, thinking about the idea of king, Isaiah wrote these words about the coming Jesus. "He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom from that time on and forevermore." So these are important realities that were written about in the hymn pointing to our Savior. And what is the name of the hymn again? The First Noel, or the First Christmas. In other words, that original Christmas in which our Savior was born. In the second stanza, this is where we see that theological confusion. The first word is they, and if you look at the context, you can see it's referring to the shepherds. "They looked up and saw a star shining in the east beyond them far. And to the earth it gave great light, and so it continued both day and night." A quick look at that, you would think it was talking about the wise men seeing the star, but in fact they're referring to the shepherds seeing the star. Was that necessary? By no means. For the shepherds, it was easy to find the Savior. They were right outside of Bethlehem, so they simply had to go into the town and find the baby that was lying in the manger. But the wise men, though, they came from far away, so by the grace of God, they saw the star. They followed the star, and eventually they found and worshiped and presented gifts to the Savior. In the third stanza, it says, "And by the light of that same star, three wise men came from the country far. To seek for a king was their intent, and to follow the star wherever it went." So the wise men, probably three of them, came from the east to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." So, as the stanza records, they did truly come from far away. They were seeking the newborn king of the Jews, and they did follow a special star. All important components as they came to worship our Savior. In the fourth stanza, we have these words. "This star drew nigh to the northwest, or Bethlehem it took its rest. And there it did stop both day and night, right over the place where Jesus lay." So the star led, and the wise men followed. Their journey was long, but finally, over Bethlehem, it stopped. How could that be? Imagine going out tonight, looking up at a starry sky, finding a bright star, and telling yourself, "I'm going to follow that star." How could that be? You couldn't even see the star move, and then when daylight came, you would lose sight of the star. How could you ever find that same star again the next night, and so on? It seems impossible, but yet we are dealing here with the Almighty God. Therefore, somehow, some way, by the power of God, the star marked the spot where Jesus lay, and by God's grace, the wise men found that location where Jesus was. But when did the wise men actually arrive? On the night of Jesus' birth, or was it months later? Consider this biblical timeline. We know from the Bible that Jesus was born in a Bethlehem stable. Jesus was named on the eighth day. Jesus was consecrated at the temple at least 40 days after his birth. And here's a key thing. The sacrifice given by Joseph and Mary was a sacrifice of a poor man. Since the gift of gold had not yet been received, they did offer the poor man's sacrifice, so we know that the Magi or the wise men came after this time, not before this time. Also, too, Jesus was visited then by the wise men in Bethlehem while living in a house, not still in a stable. And then, having been warned by an angel, the family fled to Egypt. And then when the angel communicated to them again, then they came back to Israel, and they ended up settling in Nazareth. Let's go on to the fifth stanza. Then entered in those wise men three, fell reverently upon their knee, and offered there in his presence their gold and myrrh and frankincense. The gifts point to key aspects about Jesus. First of all, the gold. Why gold? Because he is the King of Kings. Jesus is the ultimate king. He is the greatest king. He is over every other king. And then the frankincense. The frankincense pointed to Jesus being the ultimate high priest. He intercedes for us as priests did intercede for the people a long time ago. But even this being more important, when the high priest would enter the temple once each year and go into the most holy place on the Day of Atonement, he would offer the sacrifice or the blood of an animal. What did our Savior do? He is the ultimate high priest because he offered his own holy, precious blood. And then coming to the gift of myrrh, myrrh is a perfume, kind of an unusual gift, but a perfume that was used in order to put a sweet smell upon a dead body. Why perfume to the baby Jesus? Jesus was born in order to die. For us, we were born to live. For him, he was born to die. So the myrrh that was given was pointing to his ultimate sacrifice. Let us know that his life and his death removed our sins. That is ultimately why he came. Finally, in the sixth stanza, it says, "Then let us all with one accord sing praises to our heavenly Lord, that hath made heaven and earth of naught, and with his blood mankind has bought." So the Lord is worthy of our praise. Why? He created everything from nothing, and then after we fell into sin, after we made a mess of his perfect creation, then with his own holy, precious blood, he bought us back. Therefore, let us gladly say, Joyeux Noel, or Merry Christmas, which is a joyful shout expressing happiness at the birth of Christ our Savior. And all God's people said, Amen.